I wonder if you've ever found yourself in a job that fits your gifts and your skills well, maybe a job that you excelled at, but you were asked to do things that made you feel uncomfortable. Perhaps you felt ethically compromised in some way in that job. And I wonder then how you reconciled what you were asked to do with your faith in God and with your sense of integrity. And I see some heads nodding in the congregation. I wonder if you're a person who has been committed to a particular way of life. And you've given everything to live that way of life. You have made many sacrifices. You have lived by the rules. And that way of life has informed everything, including the way that you see the world. After years of doing what you believed to be the right thing, you had an experience or an epiphany that called into question everything you had dedicated your life to thus far. And in that, it called into question your very identity. If you've ever found yourself in one or both of these situations, then you can relate to Cornelius and Peter, two characters in the book of Acts. Now, unfortunately, you only have a small snippet of their encounter as your first reading today, but their story actually takes up a chapter and a half of the book of Acts, and I think it's one of the most interesting stories in Acts, let alone the whole Bible, and can be very helpful to us today. So I'm going to spend some time just focusing on this story. For in this story, you have two people from completely different backgrounds brought into relationship and transformed by the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to give you a brief recap of their story, the Cliff Notes version today, so you can pass that Bible exam. So Cornelius was a Roman centurion, part of the Italian military cohort, and he directed 100 soldiers. He oversaw these men, and their job involved occupying and keeping order in a foreign country inhabited by Jews. When the story begins, he is living and stationed in Caesarea Maritima, a city and a harbor built by Herod the Great, who was a Roman puppet king of the Jews. Cornelius is a devout person. He fears God, and in the Bible, fears means greatly respects, reveres, worships God. He prays regularly, and he gives money generously to those around him who need it. One day at 3 p.m., the Jewish hour of prayer, he has a vision. An angel comes to him and tells him that he needs to speak with a man called Peter, who's now in Joppa. A day later, Peter, who is currently in Joppa, goes up on the roof of the house where he's staying to pray. It's about lunchtime. He's pretty hungry. And while lunch is being prepared and he's praying, he has this vision and he sees what looks like a sheet coming down with four corners, and there are all kinds of animals on it. I don't know if you've had a weird dream like this. I've had some weird dreams, but this is a weird one. And on this sheet, there are reptiles and birds and four-footed creatures. And a voice says to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter refuses, protesting that as an observant Jew, he can't eat anything that's not kosher. Three times, the voice tells him to kill and eat. And the voice also says, what God has made clean, you must not call profane. Not long after that, soldiers from Cornelius' household arrive where Peter is staying in Joppa and invite him to Cornelius' home. Peter travels to Cornelius' home in Caesarea Maritima, and he's invited in. Please understand how radical this is for Peter to go into Cornelius' home. A Jew would not normally associate with or go into the home of a Gentile. Plus, this is not the home of any Gentile. This is the home of a military leader who's occupying your country and oppressing your people. Peter was entering the home of his enemy. Cornelius asked Peter to preach to him, his relatives and his friends, and Peter shares the story of Jesus, his life, and what he came to do. And I wonder what you would say. About three Easters ago, two Chinese students came to this church on Easter. They were curious, and they sat down at the brunch with Gary Johnson, and they said, what is Easter all about? So be prepared. Be prepared. What would you say? How do you tell the story of Jesus and his resurrection, what he came to do? So Peter's sermon on the spot, he didn't know he would be given one, but he starts and he says, I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. Before Peter can finish his sermon, the Holy Spirit comes upon these Gentiles, and they start praising God and speaking in tongues. And some people have called this the Gentile Pentecost, in contrast to the Pentecost, which involved Jews speaking in tongues in Jerusalem, which we will observe here on May 20. When I read this story, I realized for the first time that the Holy Spirit is an Episcopalian. For when Peter went on more than 10 minutes, the Holy Spirit said, enough, I am tired of this. Sermon over, and fell on the people, which stopped Peter's sermon. So let's just see what happens in the next couple of minutes. In this story, the Holy Spirit works to bring two people from different walks of life, from different tribes, into relationship through converting each of them in different ways, changing the way that they see the world, changing the way they live in the world. Cornelius and his household hear the good news about Jesus and his saving power, and they begin praising God on the spot. Peter is presented with a new understanding of his faith in Jesus that turns his former world completely on its head. The boundaries and many of the practices that had comprised Peter's former life were in an instant wiped out. Here, as throughout the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit is the main actor. The Holy Spirit directs the action and often does surprising things in people's lives. The Holy Spirit makes possible what formerly seemed impossible, leading Jesus' followers and those desiring a deeper relationship with God in directions they never could have predicted. But let's not romanticize this story. Change is hard. I wonder what was happening in Peter's mind and heart, if there was some anger there, or even some rage, or if the surprise of seeing the Gentiles praising God and speaking in tongues maybe overrode that. Over the years, I have worked with many people who were faithful to a particular way of life. And when the rules changed, when life was turned on its head, when society changed, or they were laid off from a job that they worked very hard at and put everything into, there is usually anger, grief, and disbelief. Change is hard. Perhaps the most powerful part of this story and of the passage that you heard Jack read this morning is the final sentence. Then they invited him to stay for several days. Peter has just baptized Cornelius, his household, and their friends. He has just crossed every line that he was taught not to cross, sharing the precious gospel of Jesus with his former enemies. His whole world has been turned upside down. He associated with and baptized Gentiles, even though he had been told his whole life that he was part of the chosen people, not them, and was separate from everyone else and needed to remain pure. He goes into the home of a Gentile, which would have made him unclean, and he doesn't just baptize Cornelius and his household, record the baptisms in the registry, and then leave. He stays for several days at their invitation, sharing table fellowship, stories, and food. He doesn't just tolerate his former enemy, his entourage. He enters into a relationship with them and with Cornelius. None of this would have been possible without the work of the Holy Spirit and the faithful response of Cornelius and Peter. In the silence that follows, I want you to think about the past week. What encounters might the Holy Spirit have led you into? And as you prepare for the coming week, in this silence, ask God to help you be attentive to what the Holy Spirit might be up to in your daily life. Amen.